It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, judging Amy.
The hearing to confirm Judge Amy Barrett to the Supreme Court will now begin.
That is our top story this Monday. Confirmation hearings for Supreme Court pick Amy Coney Barrett got underway today with opening statements from committee members.
Judge Barrett's credentials are impeccable. This is a woman who graduated number one in her class at Notre Dame Law School.
This isn't a rush to justice. This is a rush to put in a justice.
Republicans hope to vote the nomination out of committee by the end of the week. Democrats hope to stall it until after the election. Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham says this week is going to be tough, but he hopes it's fair.
This is going to be a long, contentious week. Let's remember, the world is watching.
Today will be the easiest day for Judge Barrett, who will deliver her opening statement this afternoon, tomorrow and Wednesday. That's when the judge will really get grilled by Democrats. California Senator Dianne Feinstein says Republicans are trying to ram the Barrett nomination through.
I believe we should not be moving forward on this nomination, not until the election has ended and the next president has taken office.
Feinstein says if the judge becomes a justice, Obamacare would be over. Most experts agree that barring any bombshell, Judge Barrett will be confirmed before Election Day. That'll give the Supreme Court a 6-3 conservative majority.
The bottom line is that they can do a number of things to slow the process down, but as some of them have even conceded, it's unlikely that they would succeed in defeating the nomination.
Canisius College political science professor Bob Klump, if confirmed, Amy Coney Barrett would become the fifth woman to sit on the high court. Trump on the stump. That is the other big story this Monday. For the first time since his COVID diagnosis 10 days ago, the president hits the campaign trail today.
I've been tested totally negative. I'm going to be out in Florida working very hard because this is an election we have to win. This is the most important election of our lives.
The president will be in Western Pennsylvania tomorrow for a political pep rally in Johnstown. Mr. Trump says he's never felt better.
The word immunity means something, having really a protective glow. It looks like I'm immune for, I don't know, maybe a long time, maybe a short time. It could be a lifetime. Nobody really knows, but I'm immune.
And the president will also be campaigning in Ohio this week, where the latest polls show him running neck and neck with Joe Biden. Pollster Anthony Salvanto says Mr. Trump has some ground to make up in a number of key battleground states.
Michigan, where Biden is leading. Iowa, where it's even. And then I'll toss in Wisconsin, Biden leading. Pennsylvania as well. All places the president won in 2016, and he's even or trailing now.
After a visit to Florida and Pennsylvania early this week, the president will hit Iowa and North Carolina on Wednesday and Thursday. Joe Biden is in Ohio today. He'll be in Pennsylvania on Thursday. Coronavirus cases are on the rise, mostly in the West and Midwest. 13 states reporting record-setting numbers of infections over the past week. COVID on the rise overseas.
The Czech Republic could be set for a second lockdown following a dramatic rise in coronavirus infections. Britain's Prime Minister is expected to announce new regional measures in England later today, and France's Prime Minister warns local lockdowns could be on the way.
That's Elaine Cobb reporting. The legendary second baseman and Sunday Night Baseball announcer Joe Morgan has passed away. Morgan spent most of the 1970s with the Cincinnati Reds, where he won back-to-back National League MVP awards. Morgan, also a two-time World Series champion, he was elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame back in 1990. Joe Morgan was 77. L.A. brings it home.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
The Lakers beating the Miami Heat in six games to capture their first title in 10 years with 17 championships. Los Angeles now tied with the Boston Celtics for the most overall. The Bills game against the Chiefs has been moved again. Buffalo will now play Kansas City a week from tonight, Monday, October 19th at 5 p.m. The Bills will be in action tomorrow night in Nashville as they take on the Titans. Tennessee has had to reschedule a number of games due to a COVID outbreak. Still to come this Monday, speed zone cameras back in Buffalo, COVID cases spike in Rochester, and President Trump in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. The remnants of Hurricane Delta after soaking eastern Pennsylvania are moving away, but a cold front is approaching, and that will bring showers through the entire region tonight into tomorrow. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Monday, October 12th. President Trump will host a campaign rally in Johnstown, Pennsylvania tomorrow. Polls show him trailing Joe Biden in the Keystone State, but political pundits say that can change.
Within the last 10 days, we had a huge percentage of voters back in 2016 that changed their mind and went for Trump.
Terry Madonna is a political science professor at Franklin and Marshall College.
There's no evidence that poll numbers influence the way people vote. The vast majority of people have made up their mind. The polls don't have an influence on them. There's no evidence that that's the case.
The Trump rally at the Cambria County Airport will start at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Doors will open at 4. Democratic White House hopeful Joe Biden will be in Pennsylvania on Thursday. He's taking part in a town hall forum in Philadelphia. COVID cases are on the rise in Monroe County, New York.
I'm concerned. I think it's a good reminder. You know, it's hard. People, we all get fatigued. We all have, you know, sometimes isolation fatigue.
Dr. Emil Lesho at Rochester Regional Health says this is the time of year when the virus can be spread quickly.
We're getting in the time of year when people like to have gatherings. You know, they have their family over for Thanksgiving or sporting events and stuff like that. It's hard to resist those temptations, but they could be opportunities for super spreading events.
Health officials blame the uptick in COVID cases in the greater Rochester region on increased travel and large social events. Well, for the first time since September 24th, New York's COVID rate has dropped below 1%.
The state itself is doing very well. Overall, the state is doing very well.
The governor says those red zone areas, though, are driving up the COVID rate across the state.
I have been frustrated by the lack of enforcement by many local governments. Many local governments have done a very good job. Some have done a poor job.
And despite threatening to take over local COVID enforcement efforts, Governor Cuomo says that hasn't happened yet. Cuomo also says more COVID rapid test kits will be sent to parts of the state that are seeing a spike in cases. Well, you see them everywhere on the highway, face masks dangling off of rear view mirrors. Now, AAA is urging motorists to not do that. Spokesman Robert Sinclair says it's dangerous and illegal.
Yeah, I know streaks from bad windshield wipers on a heavy rainy day, it can obscure a trailer truck at 100 yards, let's say. So something as big as a mask hanging can be a serious obstruction of vision.
Anything that obstructs a driver's view of the road, whether it be masks, beads, or even those air fresheners, is illegal. The fine can be up to $150 in New York State. School speed zone cameras are being reactivated this week in Buffalo. Here's Family Life's Dee Helly.
The city of Buffalo's school speed zone safety program went live in March and then went dark as schools closed for the COVID-19 pandemic. Five cameras that cover six schools will be reactivated tomorrow morning. There's a total of 20 cameras with flashing beacons alerting drivers to slow down in city school zones. Drivers who fail to do so will likely get a $50 ticket in the mail. The other 15 cameras will be turned back on as more schools return to in-class instruction. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. A Black Lives Matter protest in Ithaca, New York, ended with several arrests yesterday. Police say the protest outside their headquarters turned violent with objects being thrown, traffic being disrupted, and graffiti being sprayed all over the place. The number of Pennsylvania voters seeking mail-in ballots is approaching 2.5 million, and the election still 3 weeks away. Family Life's Terry Diener.
In June, 1.5 million votes cast by mail accounted for slightly more than half of the 2.9 million votes cast in the primary. Democrats accounted for about two-thirds of the ballots mailed in June. State officials say thus far, the partisan breakdown for mail-in ballots for the November election is similar, with Democrats again accounting for about two-thirds of the applications. The deadline to apply for a mail-in ballot is October the 27th. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Something happened over the weekend at Letchworth State Park in Cass Isle, New York, that hardly ever happens. That park closed because of too many visitors. Officials say they had to close the park to incoming traffic because of COVID restrictions. Stony Brook State Park in Dansville also shutting down this past weekend because of too many guests. Local food pantries are staying busy as the pandemic drags on.
We saw a huge increase in demand for food at the beginning of the pandemic. Then in the middle, as people started getting their unemployment benefits and stimulus checks, we saw demand decrease for a little while. And then as we got into the summertime and the benefits started expiring, the demand has quickly started to go up again.
Eric Saunders with New Hope Ministries out of central Pennsylvania says COVID has hit a lot of families extremely hard.
Folks who had good paying jobs and were doing well financially now are having to ask for help with food and housing, and you know, may have even lost those jobs and are really starting to struggle pretty hard.
Saunders says his volunteers are the lifeblood of his organization. Volunteers like George Williams.
It just feels good that I can help and share God's love with all these people, and I'm just glad that we can do that here.
Being able to knock on somebody's door with a box of groceries or a basket of produce and say, we're your neighbors, we care about you and want to help, and to receive the tremendous gratitude and appreciation, somebody cared enough to check on me.
That's what it's all about, folks. Eric Saunders says it's not just food people need these days. He says the pandemic has led to loneliness and despair, and a friendly face can make all the difference in the world right now. The Lakers on top of the basketball world. It is sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, the Los Angeles Lakers, the 2020 NBA champions, defeated the Miami Heat 106-93 in Game 6 of the NBA Finals in Orlando to win their 17th championship in franchise history. LeBron James finished with a 28-point triple-double to earn his fourth MVP with his third different team.
It don't matter where it is. If you win a championship, a bubble, Miami, Golden State, doesn't matter. When you get to this point, it's one of the greatest feelings in the world.
To the Battle of Pennsylvania, it was the Chase Claypool show.
As Roethlisberger throws, Claypool makes the catch. His fourth touchdown today.
Yeah, four touchdowns as the Steelers beat the Eagles 38-29.
Nothing to this magnitude. Something like this you can never predict, but you know, you always go into the game thinking that you're gonna have a really big day, and you kind of have to keep that mindset throughout the season. But I would have never predicted.
Steelers moved to 4-0 for the first time since 1979. The Eagles fall to 1-3-1. Look out, the Cleveland Browns are 4-1 for the first time since 1994 as they beat the Colts 32-23. Getting ready for the Steelers next is head coach Kevin Stefanski.
And we're there. We connected on a few. And we have to be ready in any game to play the game that is called.
Kyler Murray threw for 380 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Cardinals beat the Jets 30-10. The Jets fall to 0-5. And everyone talking about quarterback Dak Prescott with his broken ankle, replaced by Andy Dalton, who helped lead the Cowboys down the field for this. A 37-34 win against the Giants. Major League Baseball, Rays held on to beat the Astros 2-1, game one of the American League Championship Series. Rafael Nadal won his 20th Grand Slam, 13th French Open title with a straight set victory against Novak Djokovic, and 19-year-old Iga Swiatek knocked off Sofia Kenin for her first title. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Okay, Sonny, thank you very much. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, Amy Coney Barrett about to testify. President Trump on the stump and the new coaster at Lake Placid.
Winners of this year's Nobel Prize in Chemistry have invented a technology that promises to change our humanity. But is that a good thing? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. The awarding of this year's Nobel Prize for Chemistry to Jennifer Doudna and Emmanuelle Charpentier has been heralded as an incredible step forward for women. Also being heralded is the incredible potential of Doudna and Charpentier's gene editing technology, which is called CRISPR. Announcing the award, the Secretary General of the Swedish Royal Academy of Science gushed. This year's prize, he said, is about rewriting the code of life. Now, not covered in most of the press announcing the award is the dangers that CRISPR poses to us all. For example, the incident in which a Chinese scientist used CRISPR to edit the genome of embryos before implanting them, a move that drew international criticism and gave the world a glimpse of just how this whole thing could possibly go wrong, was barely mentioned, if at all. CRISPR's been likened to a computer mouse or a pair of genetic scissors. One researcher described it this way. You can just point it at a place in the genome, and you can do anything you want at that spot. Now, of course, it's not quite that simple. There seems to be an assumption here that, of course, scientists and researchers will play nice with all of the power that CRISPR offers them. Of course, history tells us that it's going to be nearly impossible for these scientists and researchers to resist the temptation to play God instead, something that has never ended well. Earlier this year, a team of researchers at the Francis Crick Institute in London used CRISPR to edit 18 donated human embryos, supposedly to study, quote, the role of a particular gene in the earliest stages of human development. The Crick Institute team did everything by the book, unlike the Chinese scientist. Still, despite their best efforts, around half of the embryos contained what researchers called major unintended edits. That's another way of saying serious genetic damage, the kind of damage that leads to birth defects or future medical issues like cancer, and might even put some conditions into the human genome for good. How did this happen when researchers were so careful to play by the rules? One genetics researcher put it this way. You're affecting so much of the DNA around the gene you're trying to edit, you could be inadvertently affecting other genes and causing problems. If these sorts of problems come with researchers playing by the rules and acting out of good intentions, what's going to happen when research is driven by greed or by state power or it's done in some unregulated environment? And now, just a few months later, the Nobel Prize Committee puts its official stamp of approval on CRISPR technology and its promise to rewrite the code of life. Absent regulations with any real teeth, there will be no restraining order forthcoming. There's an ironic connection here, by the way, to the historic origins of the Nobel Prize. Alfred Nobel was the inventor of dynamite. He hoped and he intended for that invention to be used to blast rocks apart for engineering. Instead, it was used often to blast people apart. He was so appalled by that reputation dynamite had given him, Nobel established the Nobel Prizes, including the Nobel Peace Prize, hoping that his legacy could be remade and it would instead be a better world rather than death and suffering. By awarding the Nobel Prize in Chemistry this year to the inventors of CRISPR, the committee is just repeating Nobel's history and turning his intentions for the prize on their head. Like dynamite, whatever legitimate potential CRISPR holds will have to operate alongside an even greater potential for harm. And CRISPR is not regulated anywhere near to the degree that dynamite is. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 18 minutes past the hour, a check on your work week forecast is next. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we find the remnants of Hurricane Delta having soaked parts of eastern Pennsylvania moving away. But approaching the area is a cold front. It'll deliver showers to our region tonight into tomorrow morning. High pressure will then clear the skies tomorrow afternoon, setting us up for some nice midweek weather. The call for this afternoon, though, is rather cloudy, with a couple of spots of rain left over in eastern Pennsylvania tapering. Just a sprinkle or light shower elsewhere with a few breaks of sun. High temperatures in the 50s and lower 60s, coolest in northeastern Pennsylvania. Then for tonight, into tomorrow morning at least, cloudy with some showers, 50s tonight. Skies clear from the west by tomorrow afternoon for some sunshine, with high temperatures in the 60s for most. Wednesday, mostly sunny and pleasant with a high temperature in the 60s to near 70.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, October 12th. Hearings on the Hill, the Senate Judiciary Committee opening up confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett today.
The person appearing before this committee is in a category of excellence something the country should be proud of.
Chairman Lindsey Graham opened up today's hearing, which included opening statements from several committee members. California Senator Dianne Feinstein is the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee. She says the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court will spell the end of Obamacare.
Most importantly, health care coverage for millions of Americans is at stake with this nomination.
But legal analyst Jonathan Turley says that's simply not true. Turley says in all likelihood, nothing will happen to the Affordable Care Act.
The ACA, in most likelihood, will not be struck down. John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh are expected by most people to support severability.
Turley says Democrats are jumping to huge conclusions by suggesting that Judge Barrett's confirmation to the High Court would spell the end of Obamacare. President Trump nominated Amy Coney Barrett to succeed the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Judge Barrett expected to deliver her opening remarks in about an hour from now. President Trump will hit the campaign trail again today for the first time since his COVID-19 diagnosis. He's in Florida, where he's laying out his game plan for a potential second term. The president says it starts with reopening the country.
You can't keep all these states closed up, the Democrat states, and they're not doing well. And the country is doing well.
The president says states like New York and Wisconsin have got to reopen. Mr. Trump also promising big tax cuts in a second term.
We're giving a middle-income tax cut very soon, as soon as we win. We're giving a middle-income tax cut. It'll be a very substantial middle-income tax cut.
President Trump will be in western Pennsylvania tomorrow when he stumps for votes in Johnstown. Joe Biden campaigning in Ohio today. P.G. Sittenfeld is a city councilman from Cincinnati.
Joe Biden, with just a little over 3 weeks left in the campaign, would not be coming to Ohio if this were not a neck-and-neck crucial state.
The latest polls show a statistical dead heat in the Buckeye State with 3 weeks to go. President Trump will be in Ohio tomorrow. Joe Biden will be in Pennsylvania on Thursday. Minnesota now giving elections officials there an extra week to count absentee ballots.
Minnesota's Secretary of State earlier agreed to extend the ballot deadline. This came after a citizens' rights group cited voter safety concerns because of the coronavirus pandemic. Republicans went to court to block the extension, arguing that it violated federal law setting November 3rd as Election Day. Attorneys for the state said blocking the extension would create confusion.
That's Al Schock reporting. Governor Andrew Cuomo will release his new book this week. It details the coronavirus fight in the Empire State.
New York has the largest number of deaths because New York had the largest number of cases.
And the governor was asked if he saw how this could be interpreted as a victory lap.
Oh, there's no victory here. The game isn't over. This is halftime in the game. Let's learn the lesson from the first half of the game and play a better second half.
Many have criticized the governor for trying to cash in on a new book when thousands of families across New York are struggling to put food on the table. That new book is called American Crisis: Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. It'll hit bookshelves tomorrow. The cleanup continues today in hard-hit Louisiana after Hurricane Delta roared ashore this past weekend. Correspondent David Begno is in Lake Charles.
Tens of thousands of people are living under blue tarps. They're living with holes in their roofs, and a lot of people are living in trailers in the front yard of their home. There were two storm-related deaths after Delta Friday night, but do you know that the majority of hurricane-related deaths here in Louisiana over the last 7 weeks have come from carbon monoxide poisoning? If you're using a generator, keep it at least 20 feet away from you outside.
That's David Begno reporting from Lake Charles, Louisiana today. A rough night last night in Portland, Oregon.
Get back! Get out of the street, every one of you!
Police declaring a riot broke up protesters, but not before damage was done to several statues. Reporter Jennifer Dowling is on the scene.
The Lincoln statue here in the Park Blocks area has been toppled. There was a use of a series of chains and pulleys in order to bring the statue down. Just a block away, the Teddy Roosevelt statue, the image of him riding on a horse, was also brought down in a similar fashion.
That's Jennifer Dowling reporting from Portland, Oregon this afternoon. 24 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we talk about the issues that matter most to our public schooling families with the good Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Ralph, got a lot to talk to today. Guess what we're going to start with? Take a wild guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's on everybody's minds all the time, 24-7. Coronavirus in the classroom. Ralph, we read a statistic last week. Over 100 schools, 116 schools in upstate New York, this is outside the city, that opened on day one have now had to close for at least a day because of the spread of this virus. Are we headed for remote-only learning? And how soon, if that is the case, do you think that'll happen?
Well, I think it really varies by the region of the state. Here in Western New York, schools that started out with remote are now moving to in-person, and some of that has to do with the testing requirements. Like yep. In Erie County, apparently the county is in the position now to give rapid tests if they need to. So the schools are taking that and moving towards in-person. It's almost like there's a fight going on between some groups of people that would really like to go to totally remote learning. And I applaud the schools that are fighting hard against that, because I think the value of in-person instruction is so high that we ought to continue to fight for that if we can.
There's my virtual high five to Ralph on that one. And, well, you mentioned testing there. Let's talk about a different kind of testing, the ones you take with pencil and paper, or they used to anyway. There's a big call out to suspend all state testing, including the Regents exam, because of the pandemic. What are your thoughts?
I think you absolutely have to do that. With the way the instruction is going, remote learning just does not fit the learning style of some students. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the kids that are currently in-person learning, and you go in 2 days a week, and then you may be doing remote another day. I think the delivery of the instruction is so sporadic and so differentiated, it would be really unfair to the students to then say at the midpoint or at the end of the year, okay, now it's time for our regular testing program.
Yeah.
So I am supportive of suspending all of the state testing for this year.
Many parents, this is a topic that I'd love to get your thoughts on, the consequence of this staring at screens all day. Many parents are now complaining of eyesight issues in their kids. That's just one of the consequences of online learning. What are some others, Ralph?
Well, let me just speak to that one complaint to begin with. I don't think I've ever heard a parent complain about their child, the eye strain that comes from them playing video games.
That's a good point.
TikTok with their friends, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it may be an issue. But I know that teachers are being really encouraged to vary the assignments, not just have a lecture format, but develop some things that can be done offline. You know, that takes more creativity from the teachers. And I want to stop and just applaud the work that teachers are doing, because no one ever dreamt when they went into teaching that this is a scenario they'd be in. And most teachers, as always happens, are just good soldiers and are working through it. And I would just encourage them to try to vary the assignments so that the students are not having to just staring at the computer when they are online.
Yeah, and I used to, my wife is a school teacher, and I used to, if I was having a bad day, come home and, unload on her. I don't do that anymore, Ralph, because as bad as my day may be, all that I need to do is see the look on her face, and
there
I don't go there, because all of our teachers, and you said it right there, they deserve so much credit for how they have navigated this crisis. It is absolutely applaudable. And then finally, Houghton College in the news, Ralph. We love to brag on Highlander Country because they are cutting costs in the COVID era. They're slashing tuition by more than half. We also want to talk about other schools in our listening area. There's a big debate about perhaps prorating tuition rates because so many schools have moved to online learning. They've suspended sports. Many families argue, I'm not getting what I paid for. What do you say to that, Ralph?
Well, I think that's probably true, but I also know that the college's expenses actually have increased with the delivery systems that they're trying to do. Don't forget also that schools like Houghton and St. Bonaventure and other private institutions are fighting against the fact that you can go to a state school for free.
Yeah.
So they have to find ways to be creative, and I applaud Houghton for doing this.
And as a Houghton College alum, I applaud them as well. Great to see them doing what they can to survive this crisis. Ralph, Absolutely. So much to talk about, so little time, but if folks have questions about the great work going on at TLI, where can they find you, sir?
Well, they can find us at simply whyrun.org, whyrun.org.
Thank you, guys. One of my favorite shows on the radio, Issues in Education, comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we find the remnants of Hurricane Delta having soaked parts of eastern Pennsylvania moving away. But approaching the area is a cold front. It'll deliver showers to our region tonight into tomorrow morning. High pressure will then clear the skies tomorrow afternoon, setting us up for some nice midweek weather. The call for this afternoon, though, is rather cloudy, with a couple of spots of rain left over in eastern Pennsylvania tapering. Just a sprinkle or light shower elsewhere with a few breaks of sun. High temperatures in the 50s and lower 60s, coolest in northeastern Pennsylvania. Then for tonight, into tomorrow morning at least, cloudy with some showers, 50s tonight. Skies clear from the west by tomorrow afternoon for some sunshine, with high temperatures in the 60s for most. Wednesday, mostly sunny and pleasant with a high temperature in the 60s to near 70.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noon, a year-round cliffside coaster has come to New York State. Hold on tight, folks. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Roller coaster enthusiasts can now take part in twists and turns any time of the year in Lake Placid. The new Mount Van Hovenberg cliffside coaster travels along the 1980 Olympic bobsled track and has a timed audio system that allows riders to experience something similar to what it's like to be an Olympic bobsledder. The thrilling one-of-a-kind attraction will be open on weekends only at the Lake Placid Olympic sites. The views are described as amazing and the curves as heart-pounding. Governor Cuomo insists it's the longest coaster of its kind in the country. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Sounds like a whole lot of fun. Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.